ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम आप्यायन्तु मांगानि वाक्पादश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनिरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ओम शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ओके ब्रह्म देवेभ्यो विजिज्ञे तस्यः ब्रह्मणो विजये देवा अमहियन्त त ऐक्षन्त अस्माकमेवायम् विजयो अस्माकमेवायम् महिमेति. So this third chapter of the Kena Upanishad begins here. We have to remember the first two chapters of the Kena Upanishad presented the entire teaching of the Upanishad, which means the teaching of the Upanishad is over with the second chapter. The third chapter presents the story. Why does Upanishad present this story? Because what has been presented earlier in the first two chapters is the vision of the Upanishads. Jivatma, Paramatma, Swarupa, Aikya, Jnanam has been revealed clearly in the previous second chapter and starting from the first chapter. So definition of Brahma is given in the first chapter, and the third chapter it reveals the Jivata Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. The teaching is over, very abstract. But how the Upanishad started, when it introduced Brahma, what happens? Brahman was presented as something which is not available for any of the pramanams. Which means Brahma, the reality, is not available for any pramanam. Kasyapi pramanasya or kenapi pramanena Brahma avijneyam. Brahman cannot be known. Natu pramana vishayaha. It is not an object of any pramanam. Not only that, therefore it says, how does it say that? Na tatra chakshuhu gacchati, na vag gacchati. No instrument reaches there. No instrument of knowledge can reach Brahman and reveal Brahman. This is how Brahman is introduced. And later on, the same Upanishad said, Brahman is distinct from the known and the unknown, which means Brahman is something which is not knowable. Distinct from the knowable. So these two definitions which was given there previously will make a manda adhikari, a manda buddhi, think Brahman is non-existent. One will make the conclusion. So here we have to use that reasoning method. What is the pakshaha? What is the sadhyam? What is the hetuhu? And what is the drishtantaha? They will conclude. Who will conclude? This mandabuddhayaha. Mandabuddhayaha means they are not buddhi rahita, amanda. They are not abuddhayaha. Abuddhayaha means those who are totally unintelligent people, okay, are abuddhayaha. But they are not abuddhayah or purna buddhayah, but manda buddhayah, which means they're able to apply some logic, but they apply the logic not correctly, wrongly. Therefore, because they're capable of applying the logic, means they have some intelligence. But they're not able to apply the logic correctly, therefore they are not adequately intelligent. Therefore, they're manda buddhayah. And what is their conclusion? Brahman is not there. There is no such a thing called Brahma. There is no such thing called reality. Why do they arrive at that reality? Because, how can they arrive at that reality? I'm talking to you now why Upanishad introduces this story. Because such people arrive at the reality. Why? Because initially, when Brahman is introduced there, definition of Brahman is given, the two verses, two mantras, present Brahman as something which is not available for any pramanam. Na pramana siddham. Brahma na pramana siddham. Brahman is not available for any pramanam. Then it is Brahman is neither the known nor the unknown. Therefore, this, unless a person is very sharp, he cannot understand. Okay, Brahman is still there, even though it is not available for any pramanam, even though it is not an object of knowledge. Still available for recognition. Brahman still is. That for one to think that way, he must be really intelligent. But here, the Upanishad, the abuddhaya, this manda buddhayaha, they may conclude, what is their conclusion? You know, there is a vyaptihi. Vyaptihi means, first vyaptigyam, vyaptihi. What goes with what? What goes with what, it is revealed by the vyapti. Whatever object is there, yad vastu asti, tad vastu, pramana vigneyam. An object which is existent is knowable through any of the pramanams. It must be available for some pramanam or the other. Whatever is there must be available for some pramanam or the other. Yad vastu asti tad pramana vigneyam. Pramanena vigneyam. Yena kena vapi pramanena vigneyam. It is available, it is knowable through any of the means of knowledge. Therefore, that which is not available for any pramanam is non-existent. That which is not available for any pramanam is non-existent. Got this point first now? And here one more thing. See, mitihi means knowledge. Mitihi means knowledge. So, meya siddhihi. See, here, mana adhina meya siddhihi. Mana adhina meya siddhihi. What does it mean? Manam means pramanam. Without the prefix I'm telling. Mana adhinam. Mana adhina. Adhina na dependent. Dependent on what? A means of knowledge. What is dependent on the means of knowledge? Meya siddhihi. Meya means object of knowledge. So, siddhihi means accomplishment of or the existence of a given object is dependent on a given means of knowledge. Mana adhina meya siddhihi. Mana adhina meya siddhihi. Siddhihi is a feminine gender word. Therefore, we say what? Adhina. சித்தி நோ அது அதீனம் இட். சோ மானாதீனா மேய சித்தி. சோ அச்சீவ்மெண்ட் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷ்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் தி அட்டைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் எனி கிவன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட், அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஆஃப் எனி கிவன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட், இஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் ஆஃப் அ கிவன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட், இஸ் டிபெண்ட் ஆன் அ கிவன் மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ். Therefore, what happens here? This Brahma, being not available for any of the pramanams, is non-existent. So, what they say? How they say that? They may arrive at that conclusion. In order not to give room for such manda buddhis, you know, inadequately intelligent people to make such wrong conclusion, for them to make them understand there is Brahma, that Brahman is not available for any of the objectification or any of the means of knowledge. Because that Brahman is available for recognition only as the very subject of knowledge, I. To give them this teaching, the whole teaching, what has been taught in second chapter and the first chapter, that vision of the Upanishad is here dramatized and presented through the story. Understand? There was a story. Now you all remember the story. If you know the story, fine. If we don't know the story also, we'll read it. Actually, if we do not know the story, you know the story? Okay. So, that's the story. We're going to see that again. And here, how the story presents Brahma, there are characters, okay? Which means each character in the story should represent something in the other, or which represents what? Who represents who? Like this actor represents Julius Caesar. This actor represents, you know, Brutus. Like that we have to say. Let us hear who are all the characters in the story represent whom. That way, now Brahma. Brahma is what now? Limitless reality, the truth of the universe. In fact, that Brahma, the main hero, isn't it, is represented by whom? Yakshaha, who comes from a story. Then, we have this Vayuhu, Indraha, Agnihi. Agnihi, Vayuhu, Indraha. These devatas are mentioned. You know, this Vayuhu and Indraha, the Vayuhu, Agnihi, Agnihi, Vayuhu, these two devatas represent the sense organs. Indraha represents the mind. Then Uma Devi represents the guru and knowledge. Guru and Shastra. Okay, I'll repeat it. Agnihi, Vayuhu represents sense organs. Indraha represents mind. Umadeva represents Guru and Shastra. So here, before we enter into Shankara, what he does in this Bhashyam, on this first mantra, he presents this significance of the story in a nutshell. Presents the significance of the story. Story is presented for what now? To establish the existence of Brahman. Okay. And thereby helping them. Once you establish existence of Brahman itself is enough. Okay. So we'll read the first line of the Bhashyam, then we'll see, I'll tell you everything. ब्रह्मः देवेभ्यो विजिज्ञे ब्रह्मः देवेभ्यो विजिज्ञे दैट इज अ सेंटेंस फ्रॉम द मंत्र मूल मंत्र नाउ सी द कोटेशन नाउ अविज्ञातम् विजानताम् विज्ञातम् अविजानताम् इत्यादि श्रवणात् सी अविज्ञातम् विजानताम् ब्रह्मन् इज unknown for those who know vijanatam avijnatam brahman is unknown for those people who say that we know brahman vijnatam avijanatam brahman is known by those who do not know brahman brahman is known for those people who say that they know brahman Brahman is known for those people who do not know Brahman. This is a mantra from the previous chapter, isn't it? Vijanatam avijnatam vijanatam vijnatam avijanatam ityadi ityadi means what etc mudaliya etc shravanat shravanat means by listening Due to the listening of statements such as Brahman is unknown for those who know Brahman, Brahman is not known for those who do not know Brahman, by listening to such statements, Shravanat, what happens? Yad asti. तद विज्ञातं प्रमाणैः लुक एट दिस यद अस्ति व्हाट दैट व्हिच इज एग्जिस्टेंट यद अस्ति दैट व्हिच इज एग्जिस्टेंट तद दैट इज विज्ञातं दैट इज नोन बाय व्हाट प्रमाणैः दैट व्हिच इज एग्जिस्टेंट इज नोन By through the means of knowledge. Pramanaihi. Why pramanaihi in plural? We have many pramanams, like five sense organs are pramanams. We have many pramanams. So pramanaihi vijnatam yad tad asti. You have to say that way. Yad pramanaihi vijnatam tad asti. Or yad asti tad pramanaihi vijnatam. Whatever is existent, that is understood, known, isn't it? Known by pramanams, known through pramanams. Now, yad nasti, look at the next sentence, simple sentence. Yad nasti, that which is not existent, tad avijnatam, that is unknown. So what is existent becomes known through pramanams. What is not there, what is unknown, is non-existent. Tad avijnatam. Yat nasti tad avijnatam. Like what? He gives example. Sasha Vishanaka. Shasha Vishana Kalpam. Shashaha means rabbit. Vishanaha means shrungaha, horn. And Kalpa means similar. Okay? Similar to the rabbit's horn. That which is not there is unknown. That which is unknown is non-existent. Should say this way. That which is unknown is non-existent. That which is existent is known through, known by sense organs. Then known by pramanas, given means of, by means of knowledge. Therefore, okay, சசவிஷான கல்பம். பிரம்ம அத்தியந்தமேவ அசத்து. பிரம்ம அத்தியந்தமேவ அசத்து, பிரம்ம இஸ் அப்சல்யூட்லி நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். அத்தியந்தமேவ அசத். திருஷ்டம், சி பிரம்ம தேவேபியோ விஜிஜ்ஞே. He starts the sentence, he leaves it there. The Shankara tells the why the story is presented here. The reason for the presentation of story in the Keno Upanishad is first given by Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam. He has not yet gone to the words actually. Understand? He introduces his Bhashyam. When you say Brahmaha Devebhyo Vijigne, it means, now Shankaracharya has started commenting upon this verse. That is the meaning. Okay, till Vijigne. Afterwards, from Avijnatam only, you have to take it into account. So, Shankaracharya, first he quotes that verse from the line from the previous mantra. And he, by giving quote in one verse, he says, come on, it's not only one verse, ityadi, there are many Shruti statements in the previous chapters, and all of them, you know, all these statements such as avijnatam, vijanatam, etc., all these statements, you know, by listening to the unfoldment of or the meaning of those statements, this student, you know, must come to the conclusion. What is conclusion? How does he conclude? How does he think? Yad asti தது விஜாத்தம் பிரமாணைஹி, தட் விச் இஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் இஸ் நோன் பை தி பிரமாணம், மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ், பை டிஃபரெண்ட் மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ் ஆர் எனி ஆஃப் தி மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ். தேர் ஃபோர் தட் விச் இஸ் அன்னோன் இஸ் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தட், லைக் வாட், லைக் தி சச விஷான கல்பம். See, like the kalpa means similar, okay? Like the rabbit's horn. Therefore, Brahma atyantameva tucham. Understand? Atyanta means atyantameva asat. Asat here means tucham in this context. Asya atyantameva asat means what? Atyantameva tucham. Definitely it is non-existent. Iti drishtam. But till then, you have to take it as vyaptihi. Understand? Till then, you take it as vyaptihi. What is the vyaptihi? Now, that which is available for whatever is available, yad yad pramana siddham, tad tad asti. Yad yad pramana siddham nasti, tad nasti. Understand? Then, next anumanam comes. Next begins the anumanam. Inference comes. What is the inference? Based on this, you know, understanding, now he infers. What is his inference? Inferential knowledge. This, now he says, tatha, see the next line now, tatha, idam brahma,
idam brahma.
Tatha. Now, after tatha, you have to say what now? Anumanam. Anumanam, anumitihi. Inference. Idam Brahma. Say now?
Idam Brahma.
See, idam Brahma is the pakshaha. Idam Brahma is what now? Pakshaha. You know, so the under discussion. Pakshaha. Avijnatatvat. Avigyatva, avigyatatvat means hetuhu. Because of its unknowability, because of its status of being the unknowable, avigyatatvat asad eva is what now? Sadhyam. Asad eva is sadhyam. What is drishtanta? You had to go to the previous line. Drishtanta is what? சசவிஷாண கல்பம், இல்ல சசவிஷாணவத் இஃப் யூ சே தட் இஸ் சித்தாந்த் சாரி திருஷ்டாந்தம். ஐ டெல் யூ நோ அகெய்ன், இதம் பிரம்ம இசி பக்ஷஹ அசதேவ இசி சாத்தியம், திஸ் பிரம்மன் இஸ் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் இசி சாத்தியம். வாட் த ஹேது, ரீசன் இஸ் வாட், அவிஜாத்தத்வாத், அவிஜாத்தம் மீன்ஸ் சி அவிஜாத்தம் இஸ் அன்னோன், அவிஜாத்தத்வம் மீன்ஸ் என்ஜாயிங் த ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் பீங் தி அன்னோன், அன்னோவபிள், இசன்ட் இட், அவிஜாத்தத்வாத், அறியப்படாமை என்கின்ற காரணம், அறியப்படாதது என்கின்ற காரணத்தால், அவிஜாத்தத்வாத் டியூ டு இட்ஸ் பீயிங் அன்னோவபிள், இசன்ட் இட், அவிஜாத்தத்வாத் இஸ் த ஹேது. வாட் திருஷ்டாந்த இஸ் வாட், சசவிஷாணவத், சசவிஷாண கம்ஸ் இன் த ப்ரீவியஸ் லைன், ஐ எம் ஜஸ்ட் ஆடிங் இட், லைக் தி ராபிட்ஸ் ஹார்ன், யா திருஷ்டாந்தா, பட் எக்ஸாம்பிள் டசன்ட் கம் ஹியர், ஐ ஜஸ்ட் ஐம் கோயிங் த ப்ரீவியஸ் லைன் டு கிவ் இட், காட் இட் நவ், சி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் வியாப்தி இஸ் கிவன், ஃபர்ஸ்ட் நோ இன் த பிகினிங் வாட் இஸ் கிவன் இஸ் அ வியாப்தி, வியாப்தி மீன்ஸ் வாட், திஸ் தி திஸ் பர்சன் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் வாட் கோஸ் வித் வாட், சி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஹி திங்ஸ், சி யதஸ்தி தது பிரமாணைஹி விஜ்ஞாதம், தட் விச் இஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் இஸ் நோன் த்ரூ அ பிரமாணம், இஸ் இட் கிளியர் நவ், தட் நோ த ஹோல் திங் டில் தென், தேர்ஃபோர் தது யது அவிஜாத்தம், ஓகே எது நாஸ்தி தது அவிஜாத்தம், சோ தட் விச் இஸ் நாட் தேர், தட் விச் இஸ் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் இஸ் அன்னோன், அடி காட் அடிஜி, நோ யூ கெட்டிங் த சென்டென்ஸ், ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சென்டென்ஸ் ஆக்சுவலி இட்ஸ் நாட் வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட், பட் ஐம் டேக்கிங் லாட் ஆஃப் டைம் டு மேக் இட் வெரி கிளியர், it's only introduction of this, but still, but no, isn't it?
Swami, what exactly is the translation of vyapti exactly? Vyapti.
See, vyapti he means as it's a coexistence, but knowledge of coexistence. See, coexistence here means what you have to understand the reason. See, when you make the conclusion, you have the reason, and before the reason, for you to give that reason, suppose I tell you. Let me tell you, make it very clear. See, anumanam. Anumanam means inference. Inferring is anumanam. Anumitihi also means inference. Inference is also what? A kind of type of knowledge. Inferential knowledge. You know, anumitihi, feminine gender word. Anumanam is a neuter gender word. So, inference, inferring, you can say both. So this student manda buddhihi has an inferential knowledge. Inferential means what? Inference always involves what? Now some logics. Without applying a logic, you cannot arrive at this conclusion, inferred conclusion, also based on your some logic. You have to apply, you know, that for him to apply a logic, he must have some prior understanding, isn't it? That is called vyapti. To apply logic, what is the prior understanding before he applies this, he mentions this. See, yad asti tad pramanaihi vijnatam. Pidiji,
understanding.
Yeah, no. Prior Pidiji, vyaptihi is always the knowledge of coexistence. Vyaptihi literally means pervasiveness. Pervasiveness is called vyaptihi. Mm-hmm. See, before you arrive at a conclusion, giving a reason, mm-hmm. no, this is the two things, Pidiji. Yadasti See, previously I told in the Mandukya class. See, yatra yatra dhumaha, tatra tatra vannihi. So, wherever there is smoke, there is fire. This is the prior knowledge you have. Understand? It is the knowledge of coexistence. Okay? There. But here, you say, what is the prior knowledge you have here? Vyaptihi means, that yad yad asti tad pramana vijnatam. Pramanehi vijnatam. One sentence. Yad yad asti tad pramanehi vijnatam. Whatever is known, whatever is existent, very important thing. Yad yad asti tad pramanehi vijnatam. Tad tad. Whatever is existent is known through, known by the some instrument of knowledge or the other. Therefore, that which is not there is unknown. That which is there is known. That which is not there is unknown. Okay, yad nasti tad avijnatam. This is the vyapti jnanam. Okay, vyapti jnanam. And like what, how do you say that which is unknown, that which is non-existent is unknown? Existent is known by the pramanam, non-existent is unknown. Like what? Like rabbit's horn is unknown. Why? Because it is non-existent. Rabbit's horn is non-existent, therefore it is unknown. Vyapti also is some sort of inference only here, but still you understand it. Based some prior knowledge you have. So using this now, understanding, he anumanam comes. Tatha. You know, after tatha, what now? Anumanam comes. Till then, what you have is vyaptihi. Okay? Now comes the anumanam. Tatha. Tatha. Idam brahma. Isn't it? Idam brahma. Idam brahma, this Brahman, this reality, which is said, mentioned, discussed here as reality. Idam brahma. What now? Asad eva. Idam brahma asad eva. Understand? Idam brahma itself is tapakshaha. Idam brahma asad eva is what? Asad eva is conclusion. Sadhyam. Asad eva is sadhyam. Conclusion. This Brahman is non-existent. Isn't it? And what is the hetuhu? What is the reason why Brahman is non-existent? Avijnatatvat. Always hetu should be panchami. Isn't it? Avijnatatvat. Luckily, I don't need to give anything because the Shankara Bhashyam itself tells you that. Avijnatatvat. But drishtanta, you had to go to the previous vyapti, isn't it? What is the drishtanta here? What is the example here? Sasha Vishana Vat. So, Sasha Vishana Vat, Avijnatatvat, Brahma Asadeva. This is one sentence. Got Sanskrit sentence now? Avijnatatvat. Say now. Avijnatatvat sasha vishanavat brahma asadeva. This is the conclusion. Hetuhu, pakshaha and sadhyam. Isn't it? Whose conclusion is it? Manda buddhi nam conclusion.
And the word anumana, how would you translate anumana?
inference. Pidiji, manam means knowing, anumana means knowing based on perception.
Oh, anumana. Yeah, yeah.
Anumanam anamitihi. You can say both. So, idam brahma avijnatatvat asadeva hasavishanavat iti iti. You see the next sentence, next word iti. Manda buddhi nam. Say no? Manda buddhi nam. Manda buddhi nam means what? Of those people who are not adequately intelligent for them. Vyamohaha. Vyamoha means confusion or delusion. Vyamohaha, utter confusion. See, mohaha means confusion. Vyamoha means utter confusion. Mabhut, may there not be. Mabhut means may there not be this utter confusion on the part of these inadequately intelligent people, no, that they may have this conclusion, no, let them not have this conclusion. What conclusion? Avijnatatvat sasavishanavat brahma asadeva iti mandabuddhi nam vyamoha ma abhut. May they not be. Iti, bhut iti. Okay? For this reason, tadartha means what now? For that purpose, iyam, this, akhyayika means story. Akhyayika, this episode, akhyayika is a feminine gender word. Therefore, iyam akhyayika, not ayam akhyayika. Why iyam akhyayika? Stilinga shabda. Iyam akhyayika, this episode, this story, what now? Arabhyate. It is begun here now, introduced by the Upanishad in this context now. Arabhyate is a passive verb. Arabhudatu, a prefix. Arabhate means begins. Arabhate, arabhyate, arabhante. It comes like that. So in passive, it becomes arabhyate. It is begun. Story is begun. It's a literal translation. It's what a story is begun. Iyam akhyayika atra arabhyate kimartham tadartha. Tadartha akhyayika means the story for that purpose. Which purpose? For the purpose of these unintelligent people, not have confusion. No, confusion of making conclusion that there is no Brahman at all. Yes, the thing. So, purpose of this story is very clear. Is it clear? Now, Tadevahi Brahma. Sarva Prakarena. Prashastru Devanamapi Paro Devaha Ishwaranamapi Ishwaro Durvigneyo Devanam Jayahetuhu Asuranam Parajayahetuhu Tat Katham Nasti iti yetasya arthasya anukulani hi uttarani vachamsi drishyante. Beautiful. See, uttarani vachamsi drishyante. All these vachams means words. all these words seen are seen to be the answers. Uttarani mihato, answers. Uttaram is an answer. Uttarani means answers. The following words, all these words are the answers for one question. What is the question here? Brahma nasti. Katam Brahma nasti. How can a person, how can one make a conclusion? There is no Brahma. Katam. How? Brahma nasti iti. Na, how can one say Brahma nasti iti? Iti. Understand? How can one say Brahman is not there at all? For this question, there is an answer. For that answer, supportive. The words here are seen to be the answers for that question. Okay? We'll read from the beginning now. Tadeva hi Brahma. What is Brahma? He says here, Tadeva hi Brahma. That indeed is Brahman. What is the Brahman? Sarva prakarena prashastru. Prashastru means ordainer, governor. So prashastru is not a masculine gender word. It is a neuter gender word. Why? Because adjective for Brahma. Brahman is a neuter gender word. So prashastru, Brahman, which is the prashastru, the reality which is the governor, in all respects, sarva prakar, in all respects, there's nothing which is governing, other than Brahma. Then, that Brahma, devanam api paraha devaha, Lord of all the lords. Okay, Lord of all the lords, superior Lord of all the lords. Brahman is the one who governs everything in all respects, in all aspects. And Brahman is the one which is the superior Lord of all the lords, all the devas. Ishwaranam api Ishwaraha. Devas, then all the superior of all the devatas, all the phenomena, Ishwaranam api Ishwaraha, Lord of all the lords. Then, Durvigneyaha. Durvigneyaha means what now? Durvigneyaha means not easily understandable, comprehensible. Durvigneyaha. Then, Devanam Jayahetuhu. See, every word is a glorification of Brahma. Understand? Devanam Jayahetuhu. See, before he introduced, going to the commenting, before he starts commenting upon the very story, the words here, he just introduces here. Then, Durvigneyaha. Then, Devanam Jayahetuhu. Devanam Jayahetuhu means that which is the source of victory of the devas, cause of victory of the devas. Asuranam Parajayahetuhu, that which is the cause of the defeat on the part of the asuras. Tat Satcha Brahman, okay, that Satcha Brahman, what is of these glories, okay? The Brahman which is of all these glories, understand? Devanam Devaha, Isuranam Isharaha, Devanam Jayahetuhu, Asuranam Parajayahetuhu, Satcha Brahman, Katham Nasti Iti, Katham Nasti Iti, how to say it is not there Iti, Yetasya Arthasya, Anukulani hi uttarani vachamsi drishyante. Etasya arthasya. No, this understanding of that there is no Brahman. Isn't how one can say there is no Brahman? And this understanding that there's no Brahman, isn't for that question, for the understanding, as an answer to that understanding, isn't it? All these words are, you know, that all these words are given as an answer to that question used here. What these words here? Na durvigyeha devanam jayhetu asuranam parajayhetu. Every word is what now reveals the glory of Brahman. When you talk about so many glories being there, how can such a glorious Brahman be mistaken to be non-existent? Isn't it? That is the reason here. Okay, now, before even we go ahead further. Okay, athava, namshinam, athava, Brahma vidyayaha, stutaye. Brahma vidyayaha stutaye means stutihi is ikaranta stealing shabdaha. No, fourth case, stutaye. Brahma vidyayaha stutaye means what? For the glorification of the knowledge of Brahman. Is it clear? So now, here we have to understand this story presents certain things, isn't it? So what is the importance or what are the significant aspects of the presentation of the story? Isn't it? That we had to know from these words and we had to go ahead. Then we are going to see all of them in the Bhashyam. So here, this story presents Yaksha, isn't it? Before I go to the next sentence, Katham. No? Before I enter into the next sentence, let me tell you here. The story presents Yaksha. No, Yakshaha. Yakshaha is what now? Yakshaha is the one who represents the Brahma. And then the Brahma, Yakshaha appears, isn't it? Yakshaha appears in the story. And how Yakshaha appears? He doesn't stay for long. Yakshaha appears and quick like lightning and he disappears. Therefore, appearance of Yaksha, you have to say here, the first significant point is, the appearance of Yaksha representing Brahma, isn't it, is for establishing the existence of Brahman. Therefore, existence of, first existent Brahman asti, Napitaji, Brahmanaha astitvam Yakshasya. No? Yakshasya agamanena Brahmanaha astitvam pratipadyate. Astitva means existence. So existence of Brahman is established or revealed through the appearance of Yaksha in the story. First significant point, which means asti. No? First point. So we can say, what is that now? See, the Nirgunam Brahma discussed in the previous chapter. No? Nirgunam, what is Nirgunam Brahma? Pratibodha Virittamatam is what? No? Viditat, Aviditat, Adi means what? Isn't it? So, Nirgunam Brahma Chaitanyam here is presented in the story as what now? Saguna Yakshaha. This is the first significant aspect. Why here, the question should come here in this first, when we understand the first significance of first aspect, significant aspect itself, you need to know one thing. Why, you know, why the existence of Brahman, you know, has to be discussed here in this context? Because all the philosophers, Dvaitins, Visishtadvaitins, and Sankhyas, all the people, all of them do not accept Nirgunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma, attributeless reality, is not accepted by any of the philosophers. They accept Saguna Ishvara, but not Nirguna Brahma. Therefore, you have to establish the existence of Nirgunam Brahma. Got it? This is the first significant aspect. That's why we say the effort to prove the existence of Brahman through the appearance of Yaksha is to the need is there is to establish that there is a Nirgunam Brahma. We don't not one person, okay, the whole gang of philosophers, even though they differ in their views, they differ each other, they differ from each other, but in one respect, with reference to Nirgunam Brahma, all of them joined together that they accept only Saguna Ishvara, not Nirgunam Brahma. Understand? Therefore, here Brahman has, existence of Brahman has to be, Brahman means Nirgunam Brahma has to be established here. You get the point, Ratnaji?
Yes.
You're usually tired, that's why I'm saying. Okay. Now, next significant aspect we have to see here. Next, the second significant aspect is see, any glory of any individual, of every individual, or any individual devata or anything, any glory is what now? Mithya. Mithya means what? It doesn't belong to it. All the glories belong to Brahman only. See, no glory belongs to any individual. All the glories belong only to Brahma. Therefore, any pride or any arrogance based on one's glories, on claims, is because of the abhimana. Therefore, any identity is mithya. Therefore, here, next significant aspect is what now? Abhimanasya mithyatvam abhimanasya mithyatva darshanam pradarshanam means what now? Actually, it revealing the mithyatvam of any identity. So, any abhimanam or identity being mithya is brought to light. Any abhimanam being mithya being is brought to light, which is the second significant aspect. Got it? Any abhimanam. All these devatas, when they came, they were very proud. Indraha, Agnihi, Varunaha, Indraha, all of them were highly proud peacocks, really. Now, highly, highly proud, and they were boasting, they were claiming their glories, all my power, etc. And that, when they were humiliated, actually, then they became humble, isn't it? Therefore, that somebody becoming humble means what now? Understanding the mithyatvam. Really, one can become humble only when you understand any abhimana being mithya. Any glory being mithya should be understood. Only then one can become humble. And if at all there is a glory, that glory belongs to Brahma. This is the second significant aspect. Okay. Now, third we see, that's why we have to understand this here. Sarva prakarena prashastru. That implies actually all the glories being what? Because Brahman being the one who governs everything in all respects. So all the glories belong to whom? The one who governs, that which governs everything. Isn't it? That is the meaning we have to understand. The second thing, Devanamapi Paraha Devaha. It is the third, the next glory. The third aspect. The third one. See, if you say Agnihi, Vayuhu, Indraha, all these devatas are here. If we see the Puranas, suppose I taught this even when I was doing Dhritarishi Wake Up class, I taught you this. See, Devaha literally means illumining light or effulgent light. Effulgence. Anything effulgent is called Devaha. So here all the sense organs are said to be Devaha. Five Devas. I explained this when I taught you this. Therefore, this Deva Devaha, Mahadevaha, I said. Remember, mind is the Deva Deva, Lord of the Lords. And then Mahadeva, consciousness is what now? Lord of the Lord of the Lords. You know, in stories we have Deva Deva, Mahadeva, you know, like that we have Devesha, etc. We have these words. So here, if you say this Agnihi and Vayuhu, they represent here sense organs. So all the sense organs function depending upon whom? Mind. So mind is dependent on Atma, the consciousness. Therefore here, Devanam Paraha Devaha means, you know, the Lord of sense organs is Indra. Here Indra represents the mind. And Agni Vayu represents the sense organs. And Yaksha represents consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, the third significant aspect is this. Devanam Paraha Devaha. Yakshaha is the Brahma. Yaksha is the Brahma. Okay. See, by saying Devanam Devaha, you have to understand one thing. By saying Lord of the Lords means all of them are capable of functioning because they are blessed by consciousness. Presence of consciousness. See, the presence of consciousness blesses the mind. Thereby being blessed by mere presence of consciousness, mind is capable of functioning, mind is capable of making sense organs function. And sense organs are capable of functioning and sense are capable of illumining the external world. Isn't it? That's fine. One much, much subtler aspect we have to understand here is, therefore, the sense organs are instruments of knowledge. Mind is an internal instrument of antahkaranam, sinsar bahyakaranani. All these instruments of external, internal instruments of knowledge, which are functioning, being blessed by the presence of consciousness, are incapable of revealing, bring Brahman to light. Understand? Therefore, Brahman is what now? Not comprehensible. That's called Durvijnayaha. Understand? So, Durvijnayatvam of Brahman is also what now? Revealed here. The third aspect. Durvijnayatvam is what? Third aspect. Durvijnayatvam of Brahman means incomprehensible. Brahman being incomprehensible, inaccessible to the sense organs and mind is also revealed through this story. Because this goes, no? All this Indra, Agni, they try to let me go and find out who this Yaksha is. They tried to go, they could not. Indra also tries to go, he could not. They make effort and they come back, isn't it? Therefore, that story actually, when you say not only that they are not, see, Brahman being not available for objectification, not available for pramanam, Durvijnayatva means what now? Brahman being inaccessible and incomprehensible, to the sense organs and the mind, is also brought to light, is revealed. This is the third significant aspect. So, You can say, Brahmanaha durvigneyatvam. Durvigneyatva darshanam, pradarshanam. Brahmanaha durvigneyatva pradarshanam is the third aspect. Then abhimana mityat pradarshanam is the second aspect. Brahmanaha astitvam is the first, astitva pradarshanam. The first aspect, significant aspect. What this story, through the story, what does this story, show, reveal to us? Okay. Now next, fourth aspect. The fourth significant aspect is Shraddha in Shastram and Guru, alone will help one discover humility and thereby arrive at the truth. Which means the qualifications required for self-knowledge also are hinted. The story. How do you understand that? This Agnihi and Vayuhu, they tried to know Yaksha. They failed in knowing Yaksha. They could not know Yaksha. Indra also failed first. Then Indra, first he failed, in the mind failed. But Indra could know. How could Indra know? Because Indra became humble. He bowed to. Then he, when he bowed to Yaksha, then Uma Devi came. So Uma Devi who came there, in the story, we're going to see the story, Radhiji, don't worry. The Uma Devi who came there represents the Guru. So who can, Uma Devi appeared only for Indra, not for Varuna and Agni. So Uma Devi, appearance of Uma Devi in the story, as a, who bestowed this knowledge to Indra, represents the Guru. So if even for one to be, to have the grace of, one needs Bhagavan's grace to have the Guru and Shastram, one has Shraddha in, only when a person really has Shraddha in Guru and Shastram, he can get the knowledge. Isn't it? That is revealed through this aspect of Uma Devi appearing. Appearance of Uma Devi only for Indra, and Uma Devi bestowing not only to Indra, reveals that only a person, when a person bows to and has Shraddha in the Shastram and a Guru also, then he has that, he has that knowledge. He gains that knowledge. This is the fourth significant aspect. Got it? Okay. Now, the fifth significant knowledge. So, what is fourth aspect now? Okay. Condition, the qualifications required for knowledge. Is it revealed, or also hinted here? Not explicitly, but hinted, isn't it? Okay. Maybe we'll see the story also later on, but now understand this much. Then the fifth significant aspect is, I'll tell you, at least two aspects when I stop. The fifth significant aspect is glory of, actually the glory or the greatness of wise person is the greatness of the wisdom, not the person. The greatness of wise person is because of the greatness of the wisdom. How do we know that in the story? See, when Indra, when Uma Devi gave him the wisdom, taught him, and he had the knowledge of the reality, he had Brahma Vidya from Uma Devi. Indra got the wisdom and Indra was highly glorified. So glorification of Indra, now, before the knowledge, he was not glorified. After knowledge, he was glorified, isn't it? Which means the glorification or the praise, No, the is not of the person, but he is not praised. It is the Vidya which is praised, isn't it? It is knowledge which is praised. Brahma Vidya is the praised. So, Brahma Vidyayaha Mahima or Jnanasya Mahima is revealed as Jnani's Mahima. Greatness of the knowledge is revealed as the greatness of the wise person. Which means what now? Indra's greatness after knowledge is what? Greatness of knowledge of Indra, isn't it? Therefore, it is the wisdom which makes the individual great. Your individual is never glorified. Any, if at all, in a wise person is glorified, that glorification of the wise person is actually the glorification of the Vidya alone, not the individual person. Okay? That is this fifth significant aspect. Okay? The story you had to get. So, Tadeva Brahma, Sarva Prakarana, Prashastul, Devanapi, Paraha, Devaha, Ishwaranamapi, Ishwara, Durvigneha, Devanam, Jaya Hetu, Asuranam, Parajaya Hetu. Okay. Actually, the last bit, okay, this all, Vijay, the last bit is the story also presents some upasanams. No, the story helps us to have some meditation. Three meditations are revealed there, actually. No. Meditation on the lightning, thunder. So there's meditation. Some meditation is also highlighted. Upasana is highlighted.
So I'm just saying, what are the three meditations again?
We'll see the meditations, no? We'll see the meditations.
Oh, I thought you just said they are.
No. The highlights the meditations, I said. The highlighting of the meditations is the sixth significant aspect. But what they are, what meditations are, we'll see when we do the text, Pitaji. I want you to know the six, what are the significant aspects of the... I just said, yeah, we will see every word we'll see. So I have only given you the first sentence now, Pitaji. I haven't yet gone to the next one. See, got it now? See, the Tadeva hi Brahma, that there he Shankara writes the writes the words which really hire the glorification of Brahma. Yes. See, Brahman which is of such glorifications, how can you say one say Brahman is non-existent? Is it? So that means through the story, what are all the five aspects presented here? So Brahma asti one thing, you know, and then even if it is asti, only who can know that? Only the qualified person can know. Maybe he needs certain qualifications, isn't it? What a qualification? That Indra becoming humble, bowing to that Brahma, Yaksha, implies what? Implies his Sahajatushti Sampattihi. Then only he gets Uma Devi comes as the home of a guru. A genuine seeker will be blessed with an appropriate guru and then gather knowledge. Then after knowledge, Indra is highly praised. Which means, why is he praised afterwards? Is he praised or is his wisdom praised? Very, very important, isn't it? So when the wisdom is praised, the person takes as his own. That's a big problem. And not only that, even already we have said, any abhimana, oh no, I have this, I am this great. If you say, the abhimana is what now? Mithya. Any abhimana is mithya. Any identity is mithya. Because all the glories belong to Brahman alone. Brahman doesn't claim. First we have to understand. Got them? This is simple. It is very simple logic, isn't it? Oh, it is not there, therefore I am not able to see it. If it is there, I would have seen. If Keith came, I would have seen him. You know, a natural thing, isn't it? I don't see. It is not. No pramanam can ever, you know, arrive at Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is not there. So he says, not, you know, Shankara says, it is not for all the people. It is only for you people. If we have all understood, they don't need to study the story part. Stop second chapter. Finished. Upanishad teaching is over with the second chapter. If you are amanda buddhihi, for subuddhihi, you can stop with that second chapter. For manda buddhihi, continue.
So let's continue then.
That is the, that's what he says. Shankara says that if you understood, then don't come. Finished. Open class is over. Then what is the story for now? Manda buddhi naam. Every small thing you have to see, isn't it?
I mean, but even the story without the teacher to bring out the significance.
Because all abstract, no? Sense powers are abstract. So you had to bring actors there.
But to know that these are representing sense powers, and then these are the...
Mind comes as... Because in Puranas, how they personify, Indra is the deva of deva. He is the sitting on the throne. And all this, he has to sit down. Which means he is the head of the head, isn't it? But he also... He is like a big boss, and then when Mahavishnu Shiva comes, and he just wants to wash their feet, which means he is like a supervisor, isn't it? But still, he's not a big thing. Purana, amazing, you know. See, you need the personification always. Suppose, no, there's a story, Pitiji. What happens? The Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was in tapas. In Kumara Sambhavam, in Kalidas Kumara Sambhavam, he presents a story. There was an asura who needed to be killed. And to kill that asura, they wanted Bhagavan some great power to, you know, come down and then to destroy the demon. And which means Lord Shiva was single always in meditation. So they need something. So the Parvati was not interested in anybody, you know. Parvati was all alone. The beings, everybody, people like this story because a lot of high romance. And then this somehow the Manmatha, you know, the Vasanta Rutu, spring season, is personified as a Vasantaha, a person, friend of Manmatha. Manmatha is a personification of desire. Desire's friend is spring season. Desire for pleasure is Manmatha. Okay? And his friend is spring season, when lots of flowers come and all that. And then this desire's, you know, the arrow of the spring, the Manmatha, is a flower. Pushpa Dhanuhu, Manmataha, you know. And who know who is Manmatha's wife? Rati. Attachment. Attachment is personified as wife of desire. It is inseparable. Can you believe? No? Manaha matnati iti Manmataha. Matnati means churns. One, the desire arises and slowly it will start churning. Matnati. Churns means what? What all we scheme to get the desire fulfilled. All the scheming, planning involved in getting the desire fulfilled is called mathanam, churning of the mind. So that which the churner of the mind is the desire. triggers. Then Manmatha. And then this Manmatha, how long can the Manmatha be there in one's mind? As long as knowledge arises. When the knowledge arises, desire resolve. Knowledge of fullness, inadequacy, and the inadequacy caused desire resolves. So he, Nanmanmatha, goes and tries to disturb Lord Shiva, you know, using the arrow flower. And then Shiva, once when he was in meditation, he opened his eyes and saw Manmatha finished. Manmatha became ashes. And Rati went in, went to him. Oh my God, you have destroyed my husband. My God, what can I do? Very interesting story, you know. He goes and pleads to Lord Shiva, come on, please give life back. I don't make me a widow. And she cannot survive as well, isn't it? It's all concepts, amazing, you know. Wife cannot survive without a husband, all alone by herself. How can there be passion if there's no desire? Attachment is not possible, isn't it? She goes, what will happen to me? Please give back husband's life. So, Shiva opens his eyes and finished. Jnanagni. Immediately he becomes ashes, Manmatha. Which means that Shiva opening his eyes is rising of knowledge. Isn't it? So this is then so Shiva opening his all personifications. How will you know that? See, such a most abstract thing. In the wake of the knowledge, isn't it? Then desire will resolve. This has to be dramatized. How will you dramatize this abstract concept? So Lord Shiva sits, meditation, that is undisturbed Brahma. Knowledge rises. Desire, Manmatha, standard of just becomes ashes. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, what are the five things? Remember, tell me. The six significant aspects of the story. How did he say that? All the explanation together is the second point. Brahmanaha Asthitvam is the first significant aspect, isn't it? Asthitva Pratipadanam. Second is what? Abhimana Mithyatva Pradarshanam. Second aspect. Third, Brahmanaha Durvigneyatva Pradarshanam. Durvigneyatam, inaccessibility, incomprehensibility of Brahman is revealed, isn't it? So, Brahmanaha Durvigneyatva Pradarshanam, third aspect. What is the fourth aspect? So, Shastra Jnana Arhata. Is it? I didn't say that in Sanskrit for you before. Okay, now the fifth aspect. Glorification of a wise person is the glorification of the wisdom. It is wisdom alone glorifiable. Glorifiability of the wisdom, not the wise person. The individual. The sixth aspect. Upasanas. Not because you name it. So these are the aspects we are going to study in the we now you know all six aspects what we are going to study. So that is over. Now we are going to study the six aspects. Study means finished. Third chapter will be over. Now we have not understood anything. We only know the six significant aspects. You know. Once you study the textbook, study the Bhashyam, you understand all the significant aspects. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnato Namadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.